Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a little bit this hour, we will ask, what religion are you practicing if you practice yoga? Some say Hinduism. Some say it can be Christianity. Some say it's just secular mind-body training with no connection to the supernatural or any particular beliefs. So we will ask, what religion are you practicing if you practice yoga, coming up. And tomorrow, we will cover the live morning release. It's scheduled for 9:30, so just before the show, of the President's Deficit Commission report. Will they agree with their chairman on the need for a complex web of tax hikes and an older retirement age? And will President Obama embrace their recommendations? Live coverage on tomorrow's Brian Lehrer Show at 10 a.m. Right now, elections were held this past weekend in countries around the world. It was a big election weekend. Taiwan, Moldova, Egypt, Haiti, Ivory Coast. I know we have listeners who probably voted in the Haitian elections, and we want to hear from you. And if you're from one of the other countries that held elections this weekend, call us as well and tell us what you're hearing about how the elections went. Was fraud a concern? Is violence a possible response? Did the right person win? Particularly from Egypt, Haiti, and Ivory Coast, we want to hear from you in a Three Flags call-in at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. But if anyone is Taiwanese or Moldovan, you can call in too, 212-433-9692. And joining me now to talk about a couple of these elections is Joel Dreyfus, the managing editor at TheRoot.com, originally from Haiti. Hey, Joel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And so let's talk about Haiti. Poor Haiti.
Yeah.
12 candidates got together on Sunday to call for the invalidation of the vote. There were 19 presidential candidates. These 12 said there was massive fraud. Official monitors are saying it wasn't that bad. What do we know?
Well, the foreign monitors are saying that it wasn't that bad. The UN and some of the international observers, a number of Haitian human rights groups and election observers say it is so flawed that it needs to be done over again. So there's a huge disagreement between the international observers and the Haitians. Many Haitians feel, obviously, that it was tainted, that there was a lot of fraud, stuffed ballot boxes, missing ballot boxes. There were some incidents of violence. There were a couple of deaths, people shot. There were also examples of rock throwing at polling places to scare people away. And, there was a government the only one of the guys who didn't withdraw, of course, is the guy who was endorsed by the President Préval, the one who's in power now.
So that's Jude Celestin.
Right.
And was he one of the two to make the runoff election?
He was, well, I don't know if they...
Am I wrong that it's two who make a runoff election?
It depends on what percentage. I'm not sure what the final runoff will be.
Uh-huh.
But as of, they haven't finished counting the ballots. The woman who was leading, Mrs. Maniga, who was the former first lady, her husband was president for about 5 months before he got ousted in a coup. She was leading in the polls, but a lot of people feel that Martelli, a singer known as Sweet Mickey, who's performed right around here at the SOBs near the New Year's studio.
So Wycliffe Jean didn't make it, but this
Martelli is a very local, very popular in Haiti, stayed in Haiti for the most part. He was, many people think he may have ended up getting the most votes, and he's in fact demanding that he be installed as president.
Huh. Renal in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning, Brian. I think it's a shame for Mr. Préval to try to stuff the ballot boxes and steal the election for Mr. Celestin, because he knows full well that he's been mismanaging the country's money. The millions are missing from the country's fund, and that's why he doesn't want to go to jail. He doesn't want to go into exile. But I think it's very, very important for us in Haiti to set an example, to send this guy to jail, so those thieves in Haiti that's an example for them. They stop stealing the country's money for a change.
Renaud, why are you so convinced that this ballot stuffing and election stealing took place? What's your best evidence?
First of all, I wouldn't be surprised if there is no ballot stuffing. According to Mrs. Maniga, she says there are a lot of witnesses. A lot of people slept in the polls during the night. They stuffed the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And by 9-10 o'clock, a lot of people were turned away because a lot of ballots were filled already. Mr. Celeste.
Thank you for your call.
The other thing, you mentioned earlier that people might call in who had voted. Actually, one of the issues, the big issues with Haiti, is Haitian Americans are not allowed to vote in elections in Haiti.
Yeah, so they would have had to be there on the weekend and come back by now in order
right.
to have voted.
They also couldn't hold dual citizenship. They'd have to have you. Haitians are not allowed to have dual citizenship, as most countries allow. So there's been a long concerted effort to keep the Haitian community outside the country from being involved in the political process.
Even though there was some campaigning in Haitian communities in this country.
Primarily to raise money, raise money, and to see if they think that the Haitians in the diaspora can influence people in Haiti on how they vote.
Egypt.
Right.
I should have asked Bob Baer this question because, you know, U.S. support for the autocratic regime in Egypt is one of the reasons that there is the terrorism that there is today.
Right, right.
One of the reasons. But human rights groups have claimed that there was widespread vote rigging and intimidation over the weekend. The White House today expressed disappointment, quote, with the conduct during and leading up to Egypt's November 28th legislative elections. This was not a presidential election for Mubarak, but there's one supposed to be next year. So what do we know?
Well, what we know is that there was a tremendous and organized campaign to repress the opposition, primarily the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the biggest challenger. It's a fundamentalist Muslim group, big challenger to Mubarak. In fact, many people say a lot of the fundamentalism in the Middle East has risen out of reaction to these autocratic regimes. A lot of people arrested, candidates put in prison, a lot of beatings, violent acts against the opposition. So basically, the NDP, I think it's called National Democratic Party, which is Mubarak's party, there was no surprise in this election. And I think it's funny that the U.S. is expressing regret, because even one of the things that comes out of the whole WikiLeaks scandal is how tied we are to these authoritarian regimes in the name of stability, you know, in the Middle East. So we don't dare criticize them too harshly, make too many demands from them at any time. You know, it's the typical U.S., you know, he's our guy, you know, kind of thing.
Just as Bob Baer, our previous guest, wrote a book subtitled How Washington Sold Our Soul for Saudi Crude, it could have been How Washington Sold Our Soul for Egypt's peace treaty with Israel,
right,
or Egypt being an ally to the United States in a geopolitical sense.
Allowing us to send people there to be, as we call them, rendered. During the after 9/11, a lot of things Egypt's very involved in with us, and they serve American purposes, but they undermine the support we might get in the Middle East from people very frustrated, not only with Egypt but with their own governments.
Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, voters took part in a runoff election there between incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo and Alassane Ouattara. Voting was relatively peaceful during the first round, but there are fears that because the two candidates represent different regions of the country and have militias backing them, that close results could result in violence. Are you following the elections there at all? I know this is not one of your particular areas of expertise.
Well, no, but I lived in Africa as a kid, actually, for a number of years. I keep track, and I spent a lot of time in Europe where they do keep track of what's going on in Africa and their old colonies. Ivory Coast is a typical country. You know, boundaries were drawn by Europeans with very little regard to tribal and cultural insignificance in the country. So like many countries in Africa, particularly in West Africa, there's a northern part which is very culturally different, often Muslim, versus a southern part which may be more Christian. And I think that these things have come out as the strongman dictatorships have fallen apart in Africa. The irony is, as the countries become more democratic, the tensions and the ethnic differences rise to the surface. Basically, Gbagbo has basically controlled the sort of southern half of the country. It's been in turmoil. There hasn't been an election in 10 years. And the northern part is controlled by a lot of warlords and militias. So it remains to be seen whether people will accept the elections.
Raul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello. Raul, yes. Are you still there? Hi.
Yes, hi. How you doing? Yeah, I'm calling about the election in Haiti after what happened. Since I can remember, every time the election's happening in Haiti, it's always the same issue, the same thing they keep coming up with. And until now, nobody cannot figure it out. They always have that issue with ballots and stuff. But I think this is just a way to come and, you know, to provoke problems, to do things, you know. And I could tell you, anybody right now that becomes president of Haiti right now, it's still going to be the same problem. It's going to be the same Aristide, the same opposition things. That's still going to be. Because the problem that we have in this country right now, it's that anything that a president started to do, whoever becomes in power after, just instead of trying to go forward with whatever they started.
Thank you for your call. We're running out of time. Very briefly, it's probably the worst job in the world right now, president of Haiti.
It's hard to explain to an American is you have countries like Haiti, and it's, you know, it's a country I was born in, where the idea of rule of law is very alien. You know, it's always been about power and people exercising power. And I think this is the case in many countries. We seem to think that having an election is going to solve the problems and everybody will accept the results. But that's not a tradition in many countries. It wasn't the case under Aristide, where rule of law was followed very closely. So we keep falling back. We think there's a solution, that the elections will solve it, and then we're back to the same problems of disrespect for law and lack of order.
30 seconds. Do you think there's any reason to believe that the Obama administration will put meaningful pressure on Egypt to have the presidential election be actually open and democratic next year, which there's no reason to believe it would be otherwise?
I don't think so, because there's a very good chance that that Mubarak might lose. And the great fear that America has is that the Muslim fundamentalists will come into power.
Joel Dreyfus, read his stuff at theroot.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll have that yoga conversation coming up next. What religion are you practicing if you practice yoga? Believe it or not, there's a fair amount of conversation about that question right now. Stay with us.